Okay, so Fifth Element came out, what, 1998, 9, 7,
No,
something
no,
like
no. I'm
that?
going to say 6 or 7.
Somewhere
It
around
came out the
there.
same year as Starship Troopers.
97.
And Bond movie.
Yeah, what movie?
Spawn.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
Spawn.
Now, if you look at the cover for the Spawn video release,
Yeah.
the quote they have on it is the special effects movie of the year. The same
Well,
year as Fifth Element,
it
Starship Troopers, and Jurassic Park: The Lost World.
Wait, what year was that?
97.
97. What else came out in 97? Titanic came out in 97. Men in Black.
Yeah, Spawn has the audacity in
even Con Air.
special
Come
effects
on.
movie of the year.
I'm Titanic built a fuck entire half of a fucking ship.
Yes! Like, I don't even like Titanic, but if you want to talk special
They built
effects,
half of a fucking ship and had mirror versions of all the co of the entire wardrobe.
Jeez. Whoa.
Man, I'd even take Alien Resurrection over that. Batman and Robin.
I
Oh,
love
man.
that
The 90s
movie.
was a hell of a drug.
Batman and Robin
97
is
had
great.
97 had a lot of like memorable movies. Never realized. Tomorrow
Yeah.
Never Dies.
And it was just right before
Well, that
special,
kind of sucked. Con
CGI got
Air.
good.
Yeah. Spawn.
Such a terrible movie anyway.
Special effects movie of the year. That shitty CGI cape.
John Leguizamo.
Oh.
Are you sure John Leguizamo just wasn't CGI through the entire movie? Are you sure John Leguizamo isn't just CGI?
Here we go now. Control
You
V.
mean, well, that would, well, I would say, yeah, he would be CGI, except it would be Spawn CGI.
The special effects movie event of the year.
Yes.
It was an event.
That's one thing to call it. It's
You
mostly a lie.
could call it. It was something that happened.
Well, bad things that happen
Well,
are
that kind of
also
describes Spawn
events.
by himself, you know?
Yeah. Let's see. Something that happens or is regarding something that happens or is regarded as happening, an occurrence, especially one of some importance. The outcome, issue, or result of anything. Yeah, that was Spawn. The
It
dictionary
happened.
definition of event.
Yes, it is a thing that happened.
Something that occurs in a certain place during a particular interval of time.
All true. All true. Because I remember even watching it in theaters. I think I saw it in the theater. And then watching the CGI part where they're in hell. And there's all the demons in the background. They're all doing stuff. And remember, and watching them, and then watching them go forward, and then reverse in time, and then forward. And there's like 3 frames of animation. They go forward and then backwards, forwards and
Same
then
animation
backwards.
over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's how crappy it was. I mean,
Yeah.
even at the time, I noticed that this is so cheaply done.
And you were how old then?
El Terrible.
We were 18 then.
Yeah, but still in
Yeah.
the theaters. 17? I don't know. God, that was so long ago.
Yeah, it was.
I'm
Oh,
so
it
double the age
was.
since then.
Had a budget of $40 million and made
Oh,
$87.8 million
God,
at
it
the
made a
box office.
profit.
Well, no, not necessarily, because that budget does not necessarily, factor in
Oh, like
distribution,
yeah, you're right.
marketing,
Marketing.
There was a fair amount of marketing for that movie, I remember.
Well, and of course, every movie somehow manages to lose money. Yeah, according to the studios.
Except maybe Disney.
No.
Oh, it had Frank Welker in it.
He played Malbogia.
Let's be fair. Frank Welker is in almost literally everything. In some capacity or another.
I'm pretty sure he's the voice in the elevators.
One shall go up, one shall go down.
So you're thinking of Cullen.
Oh, that's right.
DB Sweet.
Fall!
I'd be very worried if I stepped into an elevator and heard that. Very worried.
Michael High White describes Spawn as the most tragic character I've encountered in any cinematic production. Oh.
Character, not actor?
Oh. A volcano came out in 97.
And remember, this guy went on to Arrow, so it's not like his career got any better.
And Michael High White went on to be Black Dynamite, so he gets a free pass.
And then he went to Arrow.
Wait, why are they still here?
We're talking about Spawn.
Oh, okay.
Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek. Alienate even more listeners. And boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek with Chris.
And then Scott's like, oh, I don't have any internet.
Hey, Mickey.
I'm no longer pretending to be a living Cheerio living in my brain.
Scott.
I can cure a rainy day, but I can't cure being a dick.
And Fort Max.
Maybe you're the Andy Dick card.
So this week on that one episode of Star Trek, it's the original series.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Scott, we already had one of those.
I just had an apple.
You know, apples don't give me gas like that.
Well, you have to eat them for them to have that effect.
Wait, they're not suppository?
No.
Oh.
You might want to get those seeds looked at, by the way. And I don't mean by a horticulturist. I mean by like a doctor.
No, the seed comes out the other side.
Oh, okay. It's quite a sprout you got there. Sorry,
that's what
Johnny
said.
Appleseed. Where he masturbates, so an apple tree grows. Planting a seed all across America.
That was a very disturbing sound to go with that, Scott.
Well, I had to move the mic down a little bit, but it picked it up.
That's really not what I was talking about, Scott.
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to be helpful.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of. Okay, so this week we are watching The Apple Obsession, Fort Max.
Yay!
You really need to let that one go, Fort Max.
This was a weird episode.
It was a very weird episode.
These people were very orange.
It's got a very slow burn to it, but by the end, it's kind of satisfying.
Okay, so from the look of things on Twitter when we were talking earlier, you actually have things to say about this, Mickey. So why don't you go for this one?
Why don't I do what?
You know, do the thing.
With the monkeys?
Yes.
But where will we find rubber pants in our size? Okay, The Apple, Season 4, Two. Episode 12.
Ah, yes, TOS, Season 6.
I wonder what the show would have turned
Kirk,
into if it had 6 seasons.
yes, Mickey?
Remember that spinoff we almost had?
Oh, yeah.
It would have been that. So Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Chekov, a handful of red shots and red shirts.
Well, I mean,
they're
going to
get
right.
shot.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
And is that supposed to be Yeoman Rand?
No.
No, 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 no. That's just some
she's
random.
Blonde and red at the beehive, so it's kind of soon.
No, she is just the most random, useless, sexist character I have ever seen in Star Trek.
Basically, she's the motivation for a lot of sexual harassment lawsuits on the Enterprise.
Oh, this is a pretty fucking sexist character.
To be fair, it's a pretty fucking sexist episode.
Well, she managed to kick some ass later on. Which
a little
isn't
bit.
Terribly sexist. But other than yes, you're right.
There is a redeeming moment, and we'll get to that.
Even Chekhov gets a redeeming moment somehow.
Lies.
Which, first off, because he starts off the episode like he's about to rape her.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't buy the way that Chekhov's actor is, I don't buy that he's interested in her at all. It's like...
zero chemistry.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the Star Wars prequels.
I'll get you hot later.
No, like the whole...
Yeah,
the whole
Anakin Amidala shit.
Yep.
The whole angle of Chekhov's character is that he is... awkward and off-putting. So yes, it's basically impossible to imagine that he would hit it off with a girl or anybody.
Which is funny because they brought him in because they wanted a cute young character to appeal to people, like the monkeys.
Yeah, right. And what they got was Walter Koenig.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, Walter Koenig did go on to do much better work in his career, but this wasn't it.
Yeah.
But man, him in Babylon 5, good stuff.
Yeah, we should watch that.
I've never watched Babylon 5.
Ooh.
Neither have I.
Oh.
Can I just watch DS9 instead? It's probably better.
Now, see, I was thinking, like, I've watched Babylon 5 several times. I know, like, how the plot progresses and everything. But I thought it'd be fun to get, like, me and somebody else who's very familiar with it, and then get two people who are watching it for the first time ever... and make a podcast that way about it, because it's such a different experience to watch Babylon 5 for the first time and not know what's coming in the future.
So like a Babylon 5 book club is what you're wanting.
I guess, yeah. And we all know how well the last book club project turned out, so probably not.
Hi, Giga.
What, it turned to a book burning? What happened?
It went away.
XB, Giga Beetle, and...
Dirachi, who you don't know.
Yes. Sat through every single episode of Saban's Masked Rider recording a podcast.
There was only 40 of them.
Watching 40 episodes of Saban's Masked Rider is equivalent to watching like 130 episodes of paint drying. It is dreadful.
In fairness, paint drying didn't get good until season 3, to be fair. Yeah.
The podcast they recorded never got released.
We said things, and some individuals involved were uncomfortable with those things that we said being published. I'm still sitting on all the recordings, and if I, have a fit of spite one day, I will probably just release them all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to what type of bad things were said. Like,
and
against specific people, general horribleness, personal identifiable information.
Were you being pedantic?
Well, there was the one time we were talking about Willem Dafoe's penis.
Well, we talked about it on this podcast too, though.
It is a wonderful thing to talk about.
It's pretty big, you know.
I've heard.
But yes, anyway, Babylon 5 Book Club coming never to a podcast near you.
I know she never answered my question.
Because he's not dumb.
Who was uncomfortable about the things that were said?
Gigabeetle and Dirachi. I was fine with everything that was said.
Did this get dick shy about being awesome? Or did they actually say things that were like, objectively, I can't say that in public?
Well, like, I didn't feel like anything was said on there that I wouldn't say on here.
Okay. So they just got chicken shit.
So that three episode rant you went on about how Hitler had the right idea, they were not okay with that.
No, I think that was an episode of the book club, actually.
Oh, okay. With the book Mein Kampf?
Saban's Mein Kampf.
Well, some of those arm movements do look a little Hitler salute-y.
Oh, we have Scott.
A perfect gift for this.
Oh, Scott.
It's funny you mentioned that.
Well,
I'll work on
anything because I'm funny.
Let me see. Let me find that. That's got to be somewhere handy, right?
Yeah, right handy, about straight outwards, palm forward.
Let's see.
Have you seen Kyle? He's about this tall. Have you seen Kyle?
I don't know what you're referencing.
I don't know. It's just one of my favorite jokes. You just hold your hand out like this and go, "Have you seen Kyle? Seen Kyle?"
No, that's
okay. And then you hold your arm out, you know, your palm downward.
That's the wrong Hitler. Where did they put the right Hitler?
Sounds like the worst dating site I've ever heard.
Yeah, let me guess. Like, was Hitler you found him jumping out of a window?
It sure was.
Oh, Danger 5.
I might have seen this. This sounds kind of familiar.
Okay, to Google with us then.
We have
to resolve this before we can move on.
Yeah, because we have the scintillating episode of The Apple to look forward to. So again, everybody knows when it's a bad episode when we stall like crazy.
Quick,
of course we do that on good episodes too.
Does it have to be a GIF? Can't it just be like a still?
Yeah, why is it going to be a GIF?
To be fair, I have no idea where that one is. And at this point, I just kind of want something to represent the idea.
We're getting mighty esoteric in this show.
Okay, we'll have to use this one.
It's high concept podcasting is what this is.
Or I could find it immediately at search.
What?
Hold on, let's get the link pasted into Skype. Because you're terribly slow. There you go.
Nazi Power Rangers?
Oh, that's not even what I'm thinking of.
And there's the Zord, and... Yes, the concerted, perfectly timed, choreographed Nazi salute.
That's not even what I'm thinking of.
Oh, then I don't know what the hell
you're
talking
about. What were you thinking of?
Kamen Rider X. Is that why I couldn't? No, that's a different file I'm thinking of. Still, we can resolve this in just a minute. Yeah, no, the Power Ranger Nazi salute thing is stupid. This is brilliant.
Should I just tell Scott what to Google?
Oh no, I'm almost there.
Yeah, just Gross. Keep talking. He's almost there.
I'm putting it on Imgur because I don't want the URL to give away what it is before he sees it.
I'm going to go ahead and jump to the conclusion that it's going to have something to do with Sentai and Hitler salutes.
Well, you're half right.
The best half. Oh, okay, so we have like, this is Crab Hitler.
No, this is Starfish Hitler.
Starfish Hitler. Okay, well, I knew some sort of crustacean sea creature Hitler.
Scott.
Oh, Japan.
Scott, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but starfish aren't crustaceans.
They are when you dip them in butter.
You know, the good thing about eating starfish is that the limbs just grow back, so you're never done.
Right, it's like eating Wolverine.
But he's so old and crusty.
That's the best kind. Alrighty, so...
No, I've got to show you one more.
Oh my god. Patience waning.
Look, you gotta hurry up. I'm starting to sober up over here. Come on, man. Chicago.
This is Aunt Capone.
For God's sakes. It's a blue buggy with a thing with Chicago written over his chest with the Great Lakes emblazoned upon it, wearing a... It looks like an old Shuckster's straw hat.
Can't say that word, that's racist.
Hat?
Yes.
It's racist against caps.
Yeah.
Also against cows.
Cap American.
Because, you know, a cow and a stick together makes a hat.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, on planet Eden...
Thank God.
Kids and Richard discover that plants are deadly. As he hits the tripwire that makes the plant shoot missiles into his chest.
Yeah. Now, I would like to say, at this point in the episode, I know it's early, but this entire episode could be summed up in, like, 5 minutes.
By saying, beam us up?
Well, no, I'm saying that the actual plot of the whole episode, if we just watch it, they drag everything out so far and nothing happens for like 20 minutes.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, it just, nothing happens, and then the thing happens, and they're like, okay, we're done. And it's just like...
And then they do a title drop at the very end.
Right.
Okay, so as the crew explores this soundstage, they say, this planet is so beautiful, it's just like Eden. It's a paradise. And thinking, this is plastic plants and not red soundstage. This is awful.
Yeah.
You could have gone outside and filmed this and it would have been more convincing.
They didn't have the budget for that this week.
Oh, my fiancé laughed.
They didn't have the budget to use free nature.
Right. They did not have the budget to load everybody up in the Cadillac and drive out to the countryside from, you know, downtown Los Angeles.
So this plant turns around and shoots one of the red shirts, you know, and I'm surprised one of the characters didn't go, well, that's a hell of a pistol it has, because it's a flower.
Oh, God damn it.
Pistol, stamen, get it?
You've been sitting on that one for a while, haven't you?
No, I just came up with it, I swear.
I totally don't believe you.
I totally just came up with it.
You know, if your delivery was better, that would have been a great joke.
Oh, I know. But it's not, so this is what you're stuck with.
No, this is Toast.
You can never leave.
So, Scotty calls down and says, hey, there's a slight problem here. We're losing power.
The antimatter is going
to... But it's probably fine.
Yeah.
And Kirk's like, okay, well, fix it or I'll fire you. And Scotty's like, okay.
And that's really kind of the dramatic gravitas this entire episode has.
Well, and even like the dialogue in that was padded out too, because like, you know, Kirk saying, okay, so there's nothing to worry about? Well, I didn't say that.
I know, yeah, they just had this like meandering conversation. It's like, so is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Is it bad? Well, it's a little bad. I'll look into it. Okay, we'll look into it. Okay, I will. I'll look into it. How's the planet? Planet's nice. You know, I mean, they literally just have this rambling conversation that goes nowhere. Like, did the writers just go, okay, here's the idea. You go to a planet and there's some people and then this thing happens. And
I think it's that they realized at this point that they didn't have enough material for a full episode.
Right. And they just told the actors, just fucking ad lib or something. I don't know. So they just padded for time.
So at some point, Spock says, I'm pretty sure there's some guy following us. Kirk's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, nobody seems too terribly shook up by the ensign that just died.
No. Nope.
After an instant. I mean, the only way he could have died faster is if Jason stabbed him in the stomach with a knife.
Right.
So fast forward to about 45 minutes later when another plant shows up and then Spock takes a bullet for Kirk. But he's fine.
Now, before this, didn't we have people just tossing rocks that exploded?
Yeah, but that never really goes anywhere with that. They kind of drop that after that.
Well, no, it does come in at the very end.
I may have stopped paying attention by that point.
And anyway, it's kind of
so
funny.
So did the writers.
It's kind of funny, too, because like, Spock's picking up this rock and is, you know, visually analyzing its composition. Then he snaps it in half. It's like, huh, I'll analyze this.
Yeah.
I'll analyze this further later, and he tosses the other half off, just like, yeah, whatever.
Which then blows the fuck up. Holy shit.
This styrofoam appears to be unstable.
Pulling squirrels out of trees and shit.
I just like it for how casually Spock tosses the other half of the rock away.
Because, you know, that's what he does. He's very careless in his movements. You know, that's one thing about Spock. He's very clumsy and just flails randomly. That is definitely a defining trait of that character.
And then after they all recover from the explosion, he's just like, okay, putting this back, sets it down all gentle. Then as they're all walking away, somebody accidentally steps on one but doesn't blow up because nobody's paying that much attention.
I would say that Spock has a wonderful expression on his face when he gets shot by the plant.
Yes, he does.
I love that look.
Netflix uses that as the title card for the episode.
Yes, I love that. Yay, Netflix.
Proof that someone at Netflix is paying attention.
Right.
To the wrong episode.
Now, I fast forward through another 2.5 hours of them wandering through this planet.
Soundstage.
Until Kirk sneaks up on an Oompa Loompa spying on them.
Oh, Jesus.
And punches
him
in the face immediately. Yes, we are.
Oh, my God, dude. This is like after lightning hits, more red shirts die, and the weather changes.
Yeah, I mean, dude got vaporized by lightning.
I know. Like, literally just puff of carbon.
Yet this episode makes it boring and forgettable.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that happened.
I mean, I've seen this episode several times before, and I forgot the lightning thing happened, too.
What's more memorable is Kirk punching a random dude in the face, then he starts crying about it.
Yeah.
Not the random guy, not Kirk. Kirk would never cry.
No. So that's how this planet earned its name, then. Pusalon 4.
But you struck me with your hand.
Not even my father struck me with his hand.
Well done, Fort Max.
So one thing about this alien, too, is like apparently his face wants to upgrade to Windows 10.
Well, he's got the Wi-Fi adapters installed.
Yeah, so the alien's got antennas coming out of his wig.
And this guy's voice is so
really
familiar.
Handing back to him. This guy looks like he'd break into melanomas at any moment. He is so tame.
I don't know what the names of these wigs are. I don't know what the name of this particular style is.
Tribble.
Bargain.
Yeah. The on sale.
You know, they had to have saved a lot of money on wardrobe for this episode.
Isn't they're all wearing bath towels?
Yeah.
Wrapped around their waists like bath towels?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
Meanwhile, back up.
Oh, did you like that? Okay, good.
You know, back in the ship, they've lost all power, and they're slowly losing orbit. So Scotty calls down Kirk and say, what should I do? He says, well, okay, well, I guess I'll turn the engines on.
Yeah, have you tried not falling toward the planet? And Scotty's like, great idea, Captain! What a great idea! You, turn on the engines!
But unfortunately, they're going to have to turn everything else off on the ship to turn the engines back on.
Right. It's like a 1986 station wagon. You know, we can't crank it with the ACs turned on.
Well, no, that's bad for your air conditioner.
Okay. Moving on.
All right, so moving right along. Kirk interviews Captain Oompa Loompa about, hey, what's going on here? And he's like, oh, we all worship Vol here. He's pretty rad. Well, can we talk to Vol? We'd like to leave, and he's stopping our transporters from working. Well, you can come
no,
look at him, but
you can't
talk to
him. You need the Wi-Fi adapter.
Did I click on the regular Wi-Fi or the 5G? I don't know.
So he leads them through the soundstage, and eventually they arrive at Snake Mountain.
Dun, dun, dun.
Apparently Vol is actually... I assume. We never see him, but I assume Skeletor's inside there.
Yeah.
It's really a glorious papier-mâché cave. I mean, yeah, this looks believably like something I made in second grade.
No, yours would have had attention to detail.
Ouch.
I think Mickey's lagging.
A little bit.
So
there's a force field around this
lagging.
Thing. Oh, God.
Wow, that was almost a minute.
Wait, how does the internet, like, lag like that? I mean, I can understand if it's stuttering and there's a bad connection, but, like, where are the electrons hanging out until they, like, go where they're supposed to?
I think they're waiting for Mickey to open the vodka.
Ah, yes.
Is this better? Is this better?
I don't know yet, Mickey.
Yeah, we have to wait your voice.
I say one,
here.
You say two. One.
Two?
Two. Hey-o!
That's still a bit of lag.
Hip-hop array.
Oh.
Oh, God. This is the best podcast
ever.
Funny.
It depends on which side of this you're on, Mickey.
Well, I don't think I can do the summer anymore, so y'all have fun with that.
Okay, Scott, it's on you now.
All right, that's fine. I knew it was going to happen anyway. I knew when you picked Mickey, I was like, it's still going to fall onto me eventually. I just knew it. You guys planned this is what happened.
Yes, we sit around, like, hours ahead of time, just, you know, plotting and scheming. Okay, how are we going to screw Scott over this week?
I know. That takes that much effort to get me, but you do it every time. I'm glad to see you're improving your game, though.
Also, I'm really confused why Mickey is lagged when he's got the fastest internet of any of us here.
Yeah, no shit.
That's a good question.
He downloads like a trillion gigabytes a second or something.
Well, there is one other thing we can try, but it's kind of extreme.
But where are we going to find rubber pants our size?
Stop recycling Mickey's jokes.
Okay, losing interest.
Let's go. God, this is the worst. This is the worst.
No, Scott, the worst is the Godzilla
okay,
episode.
So they meet the rest of the villagers, and they're also equally orange. They look a mix between Oompa Loompas and Kesha.
Yep. And they all look exactly
with
the same.
With a bit of Donald Trump thrown in.
Oh, yeah, there's a little Trumpiness.
That's mostly the wigs, though.
No, I was going to say, the Donald Trump, that's what their huts look like. They live in giant Trump heads.
So the ladies come up to Kirk and Spock and wrap some pipe cleaners around their arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then they reveal that none of them have sex, ever. Kirk cannot let this stand. He has to save them.
Yes. You. Don't do snoo-snoo? Yeah. Hey, that girl's cheek has really
to find something of interest.
Where are your children? Children? What is that? You know,
no, little ones.
Little ones like you. They get big. Oh, replacements.
Disney's the replacements.
Ah, we're the replacements. Oh, gosh. So this one girl has that S shape that everyone drew in high school on her cheek.
S Club 7?
Yeah. Oh my god, that is just a bath towel. That is literally a bath towel.
This is the laziest episode.
Okay, so...
it's terrible.
It's time to go feed Vol. So the villagers all run off and take fruit into the cave, while Kirk and Spock hide in the bushes.
They like to watch.
Reminds you of Starfleet Academy, eh, Spock? Now, okay, I remember this was a actual redeeming part of this episode, which was the whole point of this episode, and they finally get to it. It's Spock and McCoy sitting in the bushes arguing about the validity of this society. Now, this is the point where I have to say, it's like, oh, they actually did something interesting. And I love how annoyed Kirk is with their conversation. He's like, would you two just shut the fuck up?
Reminds me of Mickey tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Kirk is just pulling a Mickey tonight. Uh-huh. But Spock and McCoy are just going back and forth. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much been both podcasts tonight so far.
Oof.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's when I have the most fun, so... Yeah.
So, yeah, Kirk eventually goes...
There's some interesting things in it. I just can't really remember them.
You need to cut back on the heroin, man. I'm telling you.
Spock is all for following the Prime Directive. McCoy is all, screw it. I don't like this.
Yeah, he's like, it may work for him, but I don't like it. And that's his argument at the end. He's like, well, I don't like it, so they should change. Like, dude, seriously?
I can cure a rainy day. I'm going to fix their society, too.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying earlier. If we hadn't glossed over it when the weather changed, I was going to be like, McCoy was going to be like, this, I can do something about this. Then it goes away. He goes, see, I told you. But no, fucking, you had to go right over it.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You still got to use it.
It wasn't the same, though.
I had to force it, though. It's no good if you had to force it.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to roofie her first, it ain't worth it.
That's what Lore does.
Yeah. When I say tin can, I mean your ass.
It's a prosthetic.
Not the John Cusack film?
Ugh.
Or that was Tin Cup.
I was going to say.
Terrible.
Tin Can was the porno parody of it.
Then there was the Adam Sandler movie where he beat up Bob Barker.
Oh, yeah, that was actually funny.
That one scene, yes.
Because
Bob Barker deserves to be punched in the face. And so does Adam Sandler.
The price is wrong, bitch.
No, the price is wrong, Bob.
No, I'm pretty sure he calls him bitch.
I always saw the TV cut, and it was Bob.
Oh. That's so sad. You had to watch the TV version of an Adam Sandler movie.
Well, the alternative is paying to see an Adam Sandler movie.
All I wanted to see was that one scene in the movie, and as soon as that was done, I turned it off.
Or at least you saved yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So now they're in a hut, and they're eating fruit and talking and just sitting there doing nothing, and the poor blonde girl is being, oh, my God, there's, like, things happening. Can some man explain it to me?
Well, it goes a little farther
than
that, doesn't it?
So she's...
No?
Okay, so the blonde woman is like, so if we save them, they're going to have to fuck, right? Do they know how to fuck?
Yeah.
And then Kirk's like, I don't know, Spock, why don't you explain it to her?
Yeah, and Spock suddenly turns into a 12-year-old boy. He's like, well, maybe they should do things. Then he goes to McCoy and he does the same thing. It's like, really?
She's not the one who doesn't know. She's asking if these people who...
I think the question she's actually asking is...
Might not know, or wondering if they know.
Yeah, I think the question she's actually asking is, okay, so if we take away, if we make them live like a normal society...
Do they even know how to reproduce?
Are they even capable of it?
Which is a perfectly valid question, considering
do they have parts?
What's going on.
Do they have parts, or was it all replaced with Wi-Fi?
Oh, God.
Or does Snake Mountain just spit out another one?
That's actually how I refer to it. Watch out, baby. Snake Mountain's about to spit out another one.
See, like, if they had actually spent more time on the Oompa Loompa village and not 20 minutes just, wandering around the sound stages, they could have actually addressed some of these points.
Or if,
like,
they spent time on that instead of mocking her for asking a legitimate question that would actually be worth knowing.
Yeah, so, like, you know, one way or another, one of the villagers dies, and then they observe, you know, another one walking out of the mountain, and it's just like, okay, what the hell is actually going on here? You know, it could have been a very interesting kind of story if they had actually spent time on the story.
Right, right. They get the kernel of the sci-fi story of, you know, a society to have the right to change it and blah, blah, blah.
There's...
The other problem with this is that, like, everything that's going on, there is no discernible point to what's going on.
No.
Like, there isn't. What is the overall purpose of...
No drama.
What's the overall purpose of Vol keeping these people to serve it?
What is Vol? What even is Vol?
Yeah.
Well, he's a giant computer that is in some subterranean chamber. And apparently it has some rudimentary AI to it. And the only thing it exists to do is self-sustain.
What is it for?
Right.
Well, that's just it. It's just there to self-sustain. It just exists to perpetuate its own existence.
But it seems like it must be expending... It seems like it must be expending at least as much energy to, like, maintain the environment for these 20 or so people in order for them to throw fruit at it every once in a while.
Right.
Like... it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought they were throwing rocks down there, the explodey rocks. See, that made more sense to me as a power source. But if they're throwing fruit down there, maybe it's fermenting and they actually have Bender down there.
No. See, if they were gathering up those rocks to throw those down there for, like, you know, reaction fuel.
Yeah.
Again.
That would make sense.
Yes. But that's not the impression that you're given. I'm pretty sure they're carrying baskets of fruit and pouring them down Vol's hole.
Also, the young couple that's kind of voyeuristically watching Chekhov and what's her name? One of them, apparently you can increase or decrease the volume of his cheek.
He's a chipmunk?
Yes, all he wants is a hula hoop. Okay, so, my God, this is just the worst.
It's okay, we're basically down to the last 20 minutes, so...
Yeah, I mean, okay, you know what, Mickey? I totally forgive you for skipping ahead. So, now, this part's weird. Vol suddenly decides, by the way, all these strangers, you need to kill them. You need to kill all the strangers. And they're like, well, how do we kill people? So then Wi-Fi head... pulls up a melon and goes, oh, like this. And it smashes it with this big axe-looking thing.
I like the dialogue for this, though. Like, okay, so Vol says we have to kill the strangers. Kill?
What is kill?
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, it's a thing to do. Like feeding Vol.
Right.
Because that's the only frame of reference they have.
Yeah. I also like to point out, each one of these dudes is in pretty good shape.
I like how in the HD remaster you can see all of his back hair glowing.
Oh my God, you're right. Jesus Christ, he's like old cheese. Look at the hair. My God. That's not skin, that's a rind. These are cheese people. Like a...
An inside... Nothing but bacteria and old milk.
Yeah, they do kind of have the color of like a really sharp cheddar, don't they?
They do. It's like the kind of wine port, you know, cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Fancy cheese.
For putting on crackers.
Well, that comes a little later. Oh, man. And then Spock starts arguing with Kirk about the philosophy of all this. Okay, so what do you guys think? Okay, since we're like here watching this, what do you guys think? Do you think it's a perfectly functioning society? Everyone's happy. It's fine. So what's the problem? And Kirk's like, no. We need to screw this up for them.
I think I've made my position.
They need to know what sex is.
Yeah, I mean, that would be Kirk's position on it. One of Kirk's many positions. No,
I call this the Corbomite maneuver. sorry.
No, if there was a clearly given motivation for why any of this is here.
Right.
Like, that would be one thing, but just as it's presented, yeah, it's completely pointless.
It is. Because, I mean, so Vol, what does Vol do? He basically protects these people, controls the weather, and makes the fruit, and just makes it everything very nice.
Okay, so, like, you could make this work more if it was not presented from the start that there was only one village that they detected.
Right.
Like, if there was an entire planetary population, or even just, like, you know, many scattered settlements, and these are the chosen people who keep Vol running to keep the planet in order.
Right.
You know, that would be a completely different thing and would not even really require any changes to the episode except for a few lines of dialogue.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, the other societies would eventually evolve and then, you know, find these villagers doing this thing, and then Vol would be screwed.
I would tend to think that in a case of where there's actually a planetary population of some sort, there would be someone like Wi-Fi Head who is, you know, being Vol's voice in the other areas and keeping things basically as they are so the system stays. Yeah.
See, I think that Vol is smart by keeping one village close by because, you know, you get too many people and there's too much of a chance that, you know, they could start there'll be
having their own ideas. You know,
Yeah, they start getting their ideas that may, like, branch off. I mean, you have this few people, it's much easier to control them. Okay, so several things are happening. Spock gets hit by lightning. Motherfucker survives. And then Red Shirt McBlondie McTits.
Blows the back of his shirt out.
Yeah, blows out the back of his shirt. And then Blondie McTits kicks some dude in the face with her boot, and it's awesome.
And, like, there's a fight scene.
Awesome.
There's a fight scene, and Chekhov doesn't just get, like, immediately owned either.
Yeah, well, he's fighting against these people who had literally didn't know what violence was until 10 minutes ago.
I know, like, you know, the deck is stacked against them, but it's still Chekhov.
It's like, dude, I kicked this infant's ass. He stood no chance. It was awesome. Swear, he looked at me funny, but I didn't care, man. I just slapped the bitch.
See, that's what it should have been. That's what it should have been.
The baby was being kind of a dick.
No, that's what it should have been. It should have just been a big slap fight. Because we saw how the one guy reacted when Kirk just punched him once. Did Scott just leave the room?
Had to let the cat out. He's
okay.
He's being a douche.
Yes, but no, it should have just been a big slap fight.
Right, that's all he needed to do. Actually, I mean, yeah, there's no reason to kick that dude in the face. Really, because you just go, nope. That's true. Any violence toward them would have been kind of overkill, especially for an enlightened society.
Well, and especially the yeoman, she should have just kneed him in the dick. Because it would have doubled as a scientific experiment to find out if he has a dick.
Right, right.
Like, are his genitals there and are they as sensitive as human genitals? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, she didn't have to use her knee if we want to get real technical. She just got a cup check and you know.
Yes, but unless she has a great deal of strength in her hands, that's not going to bring him down.
Hey, Mickey. Monkey open curtain. Yes. Monkey grab the peach. level one nast foo.
I'm still lagged.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Must be the laptop. Because as far as I can tell, me, Scott, and Fort Max are all okay.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm totally okay.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm so okay.
1, 2, 17?
3.
And comedy, God, I don't know about timing
late on that one.
All right, so in this episode, 6 red shirts die. Almost. 6 red shirts die because of plants. Spock gets hit by the same thing, gets hit by goddamn lightning, and he's fine.
Well, he's half Vulcan.
Superior Vulcan physiology.
Holy Jesus.
Also, remember McCoy said he filled Spock full of enough stimulant to, like, you know...
Oh, he had the crew doing jumping jacks or something?
Yeah, something like that. So, like, yeah. He's, you know, he's probably, like, hyper-adrenalized still, and He probably barely felt the lightning strike.
He's full of meth.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Now, we do get some nice, ha-ha, he's Russian lines from Chekhov.
Yes. You know, breathing, Russians invented that. He's like, shut the fuck up, Chekhov.
Your Russian accent's more realistic than Walter Koenig's.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Nuclear vessels. Oh, so then they finally, they go, hey, maybe we should attack the thing that's actually, you know, pulling the ship toward the planet. Brilliant!
Well, Kirk just made Scotty's day.
And it took them like 18 hours to figure this out, that, hey, maybe we should shoot the thing that's doing this. Ugh.
Kirk to Enterprise. Scotty, I have good news for you.
Well, hey, what's that, Captain?
I want you to turn the phasers on.
Oh, God, yes, I'll do it. Just point me in the direction. I've got to get my hand over the button. Just give the word. I've been fingering the knob all morning.
Me too, Scotty, me too.
That's what I like about you, Captain. Always on the same page. Now, do I get to kill a bitch or what?
On the same page?
Well, I think her name was Paige. That's a bonnie lass she was. Phasers away!
I question some of the logic of this because, like, they say, okay, the phasers probably won't penetrate that field. And it's like, no, they don't have to.
Well, apparently it's that without that, since they've not been allowed to feed Ball, Ball's going to be weaker.
Okay, but the thing is, like, the whole plan seems to be to shoot the phasers at the defense field long enough for Ball to use up all of its power, yeah. Which would, I would think, make the field collapse.
As soon as it ran out of power, yeah. But they stopped the phasers right before the shield collapsed, so I don't know.
Right, but if you know that's, like, the ultimate outcome of this, why don't you just keep shooting and actually, like, you know, blow away the mountain?
Because that would mean there would have to be consequences to this episode.
And also because they'd have to, like, completely redress that wall.
Yeah, one match would be able to take care of that papier-mâché. Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, you saw while they were shooting the phaser, they had the explosions going off inside the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And the inside of it was catching on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. They cut away from that pretty quick.
Goddamn flammable rocks.
That's why you don't make rocks out of papier-mâché when you're going to be setting them on fire.
Next time I create a planet, I'll keep that in mind.
Yes.
So the thing is, they go, well, there's this ancient computer that's been running for 20,000 years or million years or whatever they said under this planet. Alien technology that's incredibly powerful that can control the weather and do stuff. All right, well, you guys are free. We'll see you later. And they just leave. No investigation.
Well, there was a line about sending about a engineering crew down.
Oh, that's right. They just, yeah.
So they're going to be all colonial and raid all the stuff and leave them with nothing.
Yeah, so, like, I really have problems with the ending of this episode.
Kirk goes, oh, and we'll be taking a few of your
because,
women,
yes, this is essentially the Enterprise being all doing colonialism.
Yeah, it's like Captain
Cook all the resources and leave the indigenous people with nothing.
Yeah, so, like, presumably,
oh my God,
Vol,
that is so right.
Presumably, Vol was maintaining the climate over the whole planet.
Because that's why they didn't keep the phasers going. They just enough to keep to knock the shields down, and then okay, we won't let them feed it so it can burn down all, and I'm probably shoot anyone who tried to feed Ball with fruit, and yeah.
Okay, so, like, Vol presumably is controlling the whole climate on this planet, which means that by shutting it off, whether or not they take the technology away subsequently, but by turning it off, the planet's going to revert back to whatever its natural state was.
Right.
Which could be completely inhospitable to these, you know,
yep.
Oompa Loompas,
yep.
Being that it will no longer be like a chocolate factory.
Now, I'm saying that just enough for it to run out of power, it would be plausible that, yeah, if they toss it more fruit, it would work. It would boot up again if it had a power source.
Yeah, which also seems like a bad outcome. And if they're sending out an engineering crew, probably, you know, order one would be disable it, make sure it can't work anymore.
Yeah, well, and if it could just be started back up harmlessly after, that would be fine. But what they're doing, just taking the entire computer off out with them, yeah.
There's also the matter of, there's about 20 of these people, as far as we saw. And basically they're leaving them to start, you know, reproducing and populate the planet naturally. I'm no geneticist, but I'm pretty sure that won't work in the long run.
Well, yeah, considering the percentage are going to be gay, and then the other women Kirk took with him. You know he took two or three of them.
He'll bring them back later once the orange loses its novelty.
Yeah.
But yeah, way to go, Kirk. You just fucked over the entire planet.
Yeah, basically by freeing this small population of aliens, you've doomed them to extinction.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also, there's no indication that they gave them any, even tips on reproduction. Kirk's just like, oh, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's kind of asshole-y.
Yeah, it really is. I'm sure when Kirk gets back up to the ship and is writing his report, entire indigenous population dead.
I'll get a gold star for this.
And then, in his other drawer, he pulls out his scorecard and marks off another color of skin.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like he's got, paint swatches. He keeps in his borders, in a book. And he has a big check mark next to each one of them that he's boned. He's like, okay, well, let's see. Green and orange. Let's tend to head to Pandora. Give me some blue tang.
But where are the plaid-skinned aliens?
You stay away from Scotland, gay hole!
Planet Scotland.
That's right. Where the men are. Where the men are.
Billinders, Planet Ancient Rome, Planet Nazi Germany. Why not Planet Scotland?
This is Planet Scotland.
Oh. Where every name is a pun?
Yes.
And somewhere on that planet there is a McBrave star.
Oh, well, that episode could have taken about 15 minutes, all told, if they would have just gone fucking through
it. Yeah, this would have worked better as an animated series episode.
That would have been interesting.
It really would have.
You know, that's right. I agree.
Speaking of, that's up next.
Okay, so what are the next two episodes we haven't watched?
I'm working on that. Just to type around the laptop here.
Just take your damn time.
Episodes, list, labia, sorting.
You gotta sort your labias.
Yeah.
No, we've seen The Survivor. We've seen Infinite Vulcan. It's like Once Upon a Planet. And the Tarratan incident. 9/11.
Wait, did you guys see Infinite Vulcan?
Yep, yes, that was the first one.
Oh, was I not around for that?
Nothing. Nope. Pre you.
Pre me. Okay.
Yeah. We had a giant Spock.
Oh.
Yeah, we watched The Infinite Vulcan in yesteryear as our first animated series episodes.
Ah.
Good choices.
All right, so.
Especially yesteryear. I mean, both episodes were good, just in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite Vulcan was amazing for the fact in which no one ever commented on giant Spock being giant.
Or giant anyone being giant, I don't think.
Yeah. Or so you could clearly tell it was not written into the script.
Yeah.
The animator said, we're going to do it giants. Okay.
So what's the next one? Is it Once Upon a Planet?
Once Upon a Planet and then the Tarratan incident.
Episodes 9 and 11, you said?
Correct. Nah, never forget.
Jesus.
What?
That just proves Scott wasn't paying attention the first time you were talking.
No, I just had to wait for my
opening. Well, then after that, we need to do episode 16.
Serious accident. Again? So three episodes. Okay. All right.
No. Look at episode 16, Scott.
I'm looking up 16. 16 would be... Oh, the time trap. We should do that one.
That's not 16, that's 12.
Not on my Netflix. On my Netflix, 12.
Not on Netflix, on Wikipedia.
Oh, for God's sakes. I'm looking at the real thing. You're looking at some made-up website.
I'm looking at air dates.
All right, you know, fine. Memory Alpha it is.
Oh, Memory Alpha. Okay, that one, that's a legitimate source of information. Memory Alpha.
Wolfram Alpha.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give that a try. I want to see. Because I bet you it can tell me. Okay, so don't say what the title of this episode is. I want to see if Wolfram Alpha can actually come up with the answer for me if I ask. Because I bet it can. If it ever loads.
Okay, I got you, Mick. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, gosh. So there's like something like the Bush Gambit or something in here?
Bush's Baked Beans?
Talking dogs. Beans so good, you'll believe dogs can talk.
I don't even like the beans.
You just like the talking dog?
No, I don't even really like the talking dog anymore. That was funny the first year or so. Okay, no, this will not tell me what the 16th episode of the animated series was. Damn you, Wolfram Alpha.
Yeah, what a useless piece of crap that is.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what's episode 16?
The Jihad.
Oh.
See?
Uh-huh.
That's why it's paired with episodes 9 and 11.
Oh. That was so worth it. God, that was such a worth it joke. Oh. Yeah,
it totally was.
That was just so worth it. All right, so we got our episodes. So we got Once Upon a Planet and Territon, whatever that means. Like, seriously, what the hell is Territon?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out next week.
Woo! It can't be as boring as this.
You don't know that.
we'll try our best to make it as boring as possible. Don't worry.
It's okay. Only a couple more weeks before we can do Deep Space Nine again.
Oh, thank God.
I'll find us a nice, good, and boring episode of that, too.
So I rewatched the first episode of Voyager today.
Oh, yeah? The Caretaker and all that?
One thing that was interesting was that visually, the early Voyager episodes look a lot like DS9 in terms of how they're shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot darker show with more shadows. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get... The later seasons were really bright and colorful. Not so in the first episode. It's kind of moody looking.
Huh.
I have to imagine, like... Okay, so Voyager was a launch series for UPN. And it was the only show that was brought back for a season 2 out of that lineup. I kind of have to think, like, that change in visual style with the lighting and just the way it's being shot was probably an intentional thing when they, like, between the first and second seasons.
I was thinking more that it was just them carrying over what they were doing in DS9, production-wise, over into a new show before they did their own thing.
Yeah, I mean, the first season or two are always kind of rough-hewn. So I can imagine they would just kind of keep doing the same thing they were doing before in DS9.
So, other things I noticed is that, Harry Kim has the most 90s haircut ever in the first episode. It was before he starts slicking it back with like a pound of gel.
Right.
It's just sort of all hanging his bangs hanging in his eyes. He looks like an extra on Friends.
No, he looks like Matt LeBlanc's stunt double.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's exactly the same kind of hair. And Matt LeBlanc still wears his hair that way.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad.
Well, you know. Matt LeBlanc.
And Tom Paris was a lot more interesting when he was a raging asshole.
Yeah.
Trying to fuck every woman on the ship.
But Mickey, who isn't more interesting when they're a raging asshole? Why do you think I keep you around?
My asshole isn't raging. It's just pulsing.
That's just because you don't have any hemorrhoids this week.
Yeah, I was about to say, so how's that donut pillow working out for you?
Delicious.
Is it glazed? Did you glaze the donut pillow?
It is now.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, what else
have you noticed is that Voyager's not very good.
Yeah, it's,
right from the beginning, Janeway has written inconsistently.
Ah.
Yeah, Voyager's not very good, but, like, in the first season, you don't really notice that because it's the first season.
Yeah. I think I've come to the conclusion that I like Kate Mulgrew.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that Janeway's character was written like she's schizophrenic, and I don't think Kate Mulgrew really knew what to do.
Okay, here's the problem.
She was playing three different roles.
Yeah, I can see that.
Here's the problem, though, which is at some point in the production, Kate Mulgrew basically took over how Janeway was being played. Like, it's all her after a certain point.
And that's when Janeway starts becoming more consistent, I think.
But not any better as a character.
That's true, yes.
And that's kind of like, you know, I could accept Janeway being a really bad character because the actress does not know what she's supposed to be doing with the role. But at the point she decides, okay, I don't care what they're saying, I'm going to just do this my way, and that's how we're going forward. And she doesn't get any better. Like, there's a fundamental problem at that point.
No, I agree with you there, except that once she did decide she's going to do her own thing, the character became more solid. Just not good, but became a believable character, I guess.
So, would you say, and this is just from what I can remember from early Voyager, is that Janeway is supposed to be, you know, kind of a hard ass. She's the captain of her ship. She's this, that, and the other. But then she has this soft side and this almost mothery side. And instead of it being like, oh, well, she's a complex person with many facets, it came off as her being schizophrenic.
Yeah, because basically it's a switch.
It was either one or the other.
Yeah.
I see.
And it is a flaw with the premise of the character, which is that she is a hard ass as a captain because there is the perception she has to validate and prove her worth in that role. Like, even in universe, that's how it's played, at least in the beginning.
Which seems weird.
Vice versa, it also, she has to be a soft, too, to prove that she's a woman.
Yeah.
She's not just a man in women's clothing.
Which, like I said, it's a fundamental flaw with how that character was conceived of.
They were trying to push gender boundaries, but they really didn't know how to go about it at all. And so it kind of backfired and, like, reinforced both bad gender stereotypes.
Right. Yes, they tried to push the gender boundaries, but they didn't push hard enough, and so they got pushed back farther than they started.
Yes. That's much more eloquent than what I said.
That's just
kind of rambling and what I do.
Yes.
See, I was going to turn to something lurid and say, like, yeah, they push back, and then you push forward again, and then you push back and you push forward, and yeah.
So, Fort Max, do you have a take on this?
Not really.
And again, she says the smartest thing in the room.
Well, you know. Fort Max.
Chakotay is still cardboard.
Yeah, that never changed.
Tuvok is still Tim Russ in ears, which, it's really hard to hate Tuvok, but he still doesn't add anything to it. He's kind of, what is he like?
Tim
if
Russ
you're cooking,
in ears.
What would Tuvok be?
Bay leaf.
Cornstarch.
Yes, he's cornstarch.
He adds thickness to the cast.
Oh my god. And if he were here right now, he'd smile, wink, and then raise a glass of that, I'm sure.
He adds body and richness.
Oh my god.
Cass can't act.
Nope. But she can do meth.
Okay.
Ethan Phillips is actually a lot better than I remember him.
I love Ethan Phillips.
Ethan Phillips is a good actor who was just given crap to work with.
Yeah, Neelix is written poorly, but there's still something kind of, I don't want to say endearing about him in hindsight, but he still doesn't come across as snarf in hindsight.
Like, he had an arguable purpose in the first couple of seasons where he was being, you know, the ship's guide through unknown space.
Right, right.
Like,
I think he was just less comic relief. Not, like, completely unfunny, but he's just too much of a punchline in every scene he's in.
Yeah.
It's a little too ham-fisted.
He'd need to be more balanced.
Yeah. However, the doctor.
State the nature of the medical emergency.
Even from his first scene, he's amazing.
Well, yeah.
Where's your doctor? Where's your nurse? I can't work under these conditions. Then no one turned me off. God damn it. I think I was programmed to be pissed off from the beginning.
I know. There's that McCoy subroutine kind of running in the background.
I can relate to that.
Well, and it makes you understand why.
Job and being constantly furious at everything around you.
And it makes you understand why in First Contact, Beverly said she, like, swore she would never use an EMH. It's because they're assholes. They're just really unpleasant to be around.
Well, yeah.
And the improved version, and when you consider that the, nicer version was Andy Dick.
And was almost Bashir.
Really?
Oh, you never saw that episode?
Mm-hmm. No. Well, I may have, but it's been, you know, 30 years, so forgive me.
Yeah, Bashir was going on about how they almost based it off of him.
Yeah.
I mean,
that would have been amazing.
Like, part of the plot of an episode was Zimmerman and Deep Space Nine trying to program a new EMH based on Bashir.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we'll put that on the list to watch in the near future.
It was too charming.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, like, you know, the first EMH was based on Zimmerman, so it was an unsocial asshole.
Deep Space Nine or Voyager episode?
Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
So the
first... Voyager has had Next Generation episodes.
Yeah, but Voyager wasn't good enough to have Deep Space Nine episodes. Just that one quick appearance of Deep Space Nine in the pilot.
Dr. Bashir, I presume.
Yes, that's the one. You presume correctly. No, but just it's kind of a trend. So, like, the first EMH was based on Zimmerman, so unsocial asshole. The second one was Andy Dick, enough said. And, it like, the prototype for the second one was Bashir.
Hmm.
Who, again,
which I assume they didn't use because it would have been too perfect.
Yeah, it made all the other crew insecure with its perfection.
No, it kept trying to do one thing a little bit wrong.
And not good when you're a doctor.
Either way, though, it would have had the personality defect of the other two.
Kept talking about that one question it missed on the exam.
And all about all the women it's banged in its life. Whether you want to hear about it or not.
He'll follow you around on the promenade trying to tell you.
Well, okay, so like the Voyager episode with the Andy Dick EMH, that ship had holo emitters all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the EMH could have followed the crew around and just been talking at them incessantly. It really would have been perfect. So, Mickey, any other observations on early Voyager?
Well, it's a bad pilot.
Uh-huh.
It's aimless.
Yeah.
It's low drama. The caretaker is not an interesting entity.
I have to agree.
The Kampa are not an interesting race.
Nope.
The Kazon are not a threatening villain.
Yep.
When some bad CGI that could have been as easy, that could have been done to better effects with a spray-painted tumbleweed is more interesting.
It is really a miracle the Voyager got 7 years.
Yeah. Like, I don't really get it myself, but...
I think it survived solely on the basis of UPN had nothing better to air.
I guess?
I believe that.
And, like, if memory serves, it and Deep Space Nine ran together for, like, 4 years?
I want to say three.
Deep Space Nine started in 93, right?
I don't know.
Sounds right.
Memory Alpha.
Oh, who cares?
I do at this point.
But at this point, I'm tired.
But you're the one who was talking about this.
And by God, you're going to know it whether you want to or not.
But I mean, I'm tired of like this topic of conversation.
Okay, so Deep Space Nine...
I don't care about times and dates.
Deep Space Nine was 92 to 99. And Voyager started in 95.
Wow, 3 years.
4 years.
Well, I mean, no, 3 years without it. I mean, they waited 3 years to start Voyager, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they waited until the season after Next Generation ended.
Yeah, gosh. Well, in the 90s really were the golden age, weren't they?
Well, yeah, 92 to 99.
Wow.
Well, that's not true. More like 94 to 99. Those first two seasons of Deep Space Nine were kind of rough.
But we had yeah. Next Generation during that time, though.
Right, right,
yes,
right.
And one of the seasons of Next Generation we had during that time was Season 7.
Oh, Season 7. Do we not like Season 7?
Season 7's got a lot of boring-ass episodes.
Uh-huh. Oh. Season 7 was really where you could tell, okay, the show's over.
Oh, wow. I did not know this.
Haven't you watched Season 7?
Not recently.
Well, doesn't that say a lot?
Well, I haven't watched a whole lot of Star Trek. The only Star Trek I really watch nowadays is what I watch for the podcast, so you guys kind of determine my viewing.
Good to know. Good. I will abuse this power in the near future.
I think I checked out of watching Next Generation like right after Best of Both Worlds. I only caught occasional episodes after that. While it was airing, mind you.
Right.
I see.
Obviously, you've gone back to it since.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen all the episodes.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the two you keep bringing up over and over again, Darmok and...
You never saw Darmok?
I've never seen it. Or the one where Picard thinks he's some farmer asshole.
What?
You never saw the Inner Light?
Inner Light? Have you
yeah, I've
not
never
seen
either of those two episodes.
You're a fucking liar.
I tried watching Inner Light once, but I got kind of bored about 5 minutes in, so I just turned it off.
What?
Okay, I could kind of see that, like... I can see that. It's a good episode if you actually take the time to, like, go through it and get into it.
The problem is I've seen that episode trope before, so it's not quite as captivating to me.
Well, yeah, it's totally on the strength of Patrick Stewart.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a solid
but
strength.
Going into it, I kind of know, that, like, oh, it's one of the things, am I this or am I that? Which reality is real? It's like, yeah, I've seen this before in Buffy before and other shows, too.
It's not just that, though. That's the thing. I know what you're saying, but it's not just that. There's so much emotional weight to it that it that's the real point. I mean, the whole, well, which reality is real? That's not really the – it's not like it's a mindfuck episode.
No, it's not. That was in Season 7.
Yeah, Season 7, Episode 3, mindfuck. I can't believe they got that by the censors.
You're not far off.
No. I was going to say, was it mind rape and was it Troy?
Let's see. No, it was
yes.
Frame
God,
of
resisting
Mind.
Me.
Your resistance only makes my penis harder.
No, the Season 7 episode.
Like,
oh, that was
penises?
Oh, shit, that was Season 6. That was like the end of Season 6.
Hmm.
The clip show?
No, that was the Mindfuck episode. But with Riker instead of Picard.
Frame of Mind.
I still maintain the best episode of any season of Next Generation is Cause and Effect.
Yeah, I like that one.
Which one was that?
I watched the episode over and over and over again. I guess it was slightly different from each time.
Which episode was that?
It's the one with the continent time loop and the Enterprise keeps blowing up every 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, I think I know what Next Generation episode we're doing next.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Which one? The Frame of Mind or Cause and Effect?
Cause and Effect.
Oh, yeah, that was a brilliant
one. I was always into that episode.
Yeah, I caught the episode randomly on TV, like, you know, late at night once. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's going on? The Enterprise just blew up. We're 5 minutes into the episode. What's happening? And it just keeps happening over and over again, and it's great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is. It's a great episode. It's a great idea. It's well done. Plus, you get people from the Enterprise B era coming to the TNG era and then having to, like, deal with that. That's cool. They never touched back on that, which annoyed me.
Wait, what?
Remember the end of the episode with the Bozeman?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
the people in the people in the movie style uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the cause and effect?
No, yes. No. Yeah,
absolutely. Because that's why they kept blowing up, because their ship kept running into them. They came out of this portal.
Oh yeah, yeah. Derp. Okay, never mind. Sorry,
Kelsey Grammer. Right.
Yes, yeah. I got confused for a moment. I'm sorry.
No worries. No, I get you. So yeah. So that's why. And then they're like, oh well, now both ships are here. So you've been in a time loop for 70 years. So go back to Starfleet, have fun, and then that's it. okay.
I bet you there's like a novel or something that deals with the fallout of that.
I sure hope so, because it's an interesting idea.
Because there's novels of everything.
I'm online.
What?
Star Trek right. Online, I'm sure they've followed up on it.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly, Star Trek Online, they're so starved for content. Every single thread that you've ever seen in any episode ever, they've pretty much tugged on. Every minor race, every minor conflict, they've come back. But you know what? I don't think they've gone back to that one. That said, the new expansion is you go back to original series era, and they have a whole, like, you know, big expansion. The third expansion for the whole game is based in TOS era. And you get all these new TOS-looking ships that you see from, like, FAFSA and stuff.
Okay, so the novel Ship of the Line stated that the Bozeman was retired in 2371, became a museum ship. In 2372, Starfleet launched the destroyer Bozeman A, constructed and staffed by the crew of the original Bozeman. And according to the novel, it was this ship that fought in the first contact battle.
Oh, well.
So yes,
whoops.
Yes, they wrote a story about that and sent them to fight the Borg.
Oh my god. Welcome to hell, bitches. More meat for the fodder. Ugh.
I guess they survived, because I think there was a couple more stories. Maybe. But yes, it proves the point. They did write a story about what happened to that crew.
I got you.
Good job, Star Trek. Okay, so next week is episodes 9 and 11 of the animated series, and I guess for Next Generation week, the week after that, we'll be doing Cause and Effect. Over and over and over.
And then the week for that, we'll be doing the cause and effect.
Yes. And the week after that, we're doing cause and effect. And the week after that, we're doing cause and effect. And the week after that, we're doing cause and effect.
So what about after that?
Deep Space Nine.
Wait, the Bozeman A was a sovereign class? I only had one sovereign class in First Contact.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, it could have been in the battle. Doesn't mean we saw it on screen.
No, okay, well, that's fair.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Scott, I think if anybody here would know about this, it would be you.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You are, like, the big ship nerd.
I am a big ship nerd. I watch, like, podcasts and YouTube channels of them just talking about the new ships that come out.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Star Trek ships.
I was researching some of the ships earlier, and since for the new ships that debuted in First Contact, they specifically want them to not look like the Sovereign class, so that if you saw the Enterprise on screen, you knew it was the Enterprise and not another ship.
Hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So it was like the Akira,
Yeah.
Like three others.
The Canada.
Yeah, the Steam Runner. No, the Steam Runner.
The Steam Runner, Akira, yeah.
And the Saber class.
Yeah.
Yep. I know my Star Trek ships. I'm not good at much, but I do know those.
Some ugly ships too.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have very specific purposes. They're like specialized ships.
I like how lazy the designers were for the Akira. Like, let's take the NX and flip it upside down.
Bitch,
maybe no one noticed
first, motherfucker.
Not in continuity.
And whatever, I can't argue that point. But still, you suck.
Look, I'm just gonna go on record and say that Star Trek ships lost their design charm after the Defiant.
You really gotta, like, man, look at some of the ones they've come up with in STO.
Those aren't real, Scott.
Yes, they are. They're canon. They're CBS approved.
No, those aren't real. They're not on TV.
Well, that's actually a valid point, because they're not on screen, but they're still CBS approved.
Yeah, but they're not real, Scott.
God damn it. Here, look at this.
None of them are real.
Look at this fucking link.
No, look. Everything up to
look,
the
Defiant.
Look,
I just sent you a link. You're going to look at it.
Everything up to the Defiant was real because it had a model made for it to shoot with.
A physical model?
Yes.
Oh, how quaint.
Was there not a physical model for the E?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's sad.
You know, I think, like, halfway through Deep Space Nine, they switched everything over to CG.
Yeah.
And what model was it that they fucked up on the CG model?
Well, the second Defiant had the call letters of the first one because, you know, they were using the original CG model. I think that happened with a few other ships.
No, I mean, I think there was something that they messed up the dimensions of something on.
I think that was also the Defiant CG model.
Computers are hard.
No, it's just that animators are lazy. Or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, let's see here. Oh, so you guys remember the Enterprise J from the...
That didn't happen.
Look, there's nothing offensive about that.
Aside from the terrible design.
Well, okay. I won't deny that.
All right, so then the link I just put is like some of the new ship designs are based on the original series designs, and I love them. I love the way these look. They have that Constitution look. It's all smooth and round and space age from the 60s. Oh, I love the way that looks. I love it. Yeah, the Daedalus. Yeah. It's supposed to look goofy, though. That's kind of the point of it. It's supposed to look, you know, basic.
I like the Perseus.
Mm-hmm.
Not feeling Gemini class at all.
Don't like the big tube in the middle?
No, I don't like the quad nacelles.
I like that better,
only as like a one-time idea that didn't pan out. Then doing it multiple times, I'm not feeling.
Right.
Well, you know, if at first you don't succeed, fuck up again.
Well, that's
okay, so the Ranger class here is basically the NX refit.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Yeah, how's that look?
The fuck is this Nautilus bullshit?
Yeah, well, these are like temporal classes from the 31st century.
Oh.
So the ones down below are like the really weird ones from the 31st century.
I don't like those nacelles.
I'm not a fan of the design of these either, to be completely honest. The futuristic ones, the temporal ones, I'm not really a fan of. Now, the ones at the very bottom, the two last ones... Pretty cool looking. Oh, yeah, there's. If you click on the button, there's like show more images. You know, I'm going to click that link so you see the rest of them. Pioneer class is pretty cool looking. It looks a lot more like the Connie.
Yeah. I don't like the Temporal Raiders at all.
Do what?
I don't like the Temporal Raiders.
Yeah.
It's generic.
Well, they're supposed to be, and that's what people say. It's like, well, it doesn't look anything. It's actually a cross-faction ship, so Klingons, Romulans, or Federation people can use that ship. It's like an amalgamation of all the different technologies, which is why it looks generic.
That's not an excuse.
That's baked in. I mean, that's actually the story of the ship. That's the lore of the ship. So,
but it doesn't excuse it looking boring.
Yeah, I'm just a messenger.
I'm saying, if you edited out the Star Trek logo and told me to guess which sci-fi show this came from, I would not be able to tell you if it's Star Trek or Farscape or Stargate or Gate Trek.
I like the designs of Stargate Farstar. Ships.
Farstar.
I like Stargate ships.
Farstar. Wait, Stargate had ships?
Yes.
The 31st century ships don't look sturdy.
Yeah, well, that's it. They're so high-tech, they don't have to be, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it either. Like I said, it's my least favorite designs. I mean, I see they have to kind of tie the stuff in to what's supposed to be, in quotes, you know, in the 31st century. But here's the cool thing, though. Okay, let's say you get one of these Tier 6 temporal cruisers. It's all weird looking. You can put the skin of the TOS-era ship on it. So you don't have to look at the new version. You can still fly around in your badass ship and have it look like the original series.
Like a holographic hat.
Yes, exactly. Because it has a chameleon circuit.
Can you make it look like a TARDIS?
Okay, one, no. Two, thank you for getting the reference.
I think we all got the reference. It's just Mickey's the only one gullible enough to jump on it.
Well, he's always one of that good friend who'll jump on a grenade for me.
Yeah, right. Now, Mickey's the friend
if
I expect
that grenade
to...
is a dick.
Mickey's the friend I expect to throw me on a live grenade.
You don't have to outrun the dinosaurs. Yeah, I just have to outrun you.
I like how the Daedalus looks like it's a milk bottle.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the Paladin class, and like, I'm not seeing it. There's no coughing. There's no anger. It's just, it probably hadn't even seen Revenge of the Fallen more than two times.
And it's too clean to be living in Michigan.
Yeah, and it's not on fire enough.
It's not like a Malon vessel.
Spewing garbage everywhere.
That's right.
So which one of these is... Fuck.
What?
What?
The Daedalus is the science class, so yay, that's what I would have to end up driving.
Right. Well, yeah, it's only tier 2, though, so you don't have it for a little bit, and you'd upgrade to something else, but eventually you get, like, a higher-level version of it. You probably
haven't played since the Romulans first came out, either, so...
Right. Oh, all the Romulans came out?
Yes.
No wonder their species is dying.
Are you clapping for yourself?
No, that wasn't me. I swear to God, that wasn't me.
Man, Scott, self-important much?
I don't know who was clapping, but it was the most sarcastic clapping I've ever heard in my life. And trust me, I've heard a lot of sarcastic clapping.
Yeah, you've got a fiance.
That's the type of clapping you get from a ham sandwich.
Or a toilet seat.
Oh, God. So you had a ham sandwich for breakfast this morning?
No.
Oh, you know the story you were telling on Twitter earlier about Ben losing his keys?
Losing. Yeah.
So earlier I lost my cell phone.
Was it in your hand?
No, it was in my pocket.
Enormous pockets?
No, I just have a very light phone.